What's up, everybody? Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Michael Fabiano alongside the Fantasy Viper and the favorite to win our matchup in the NFL Fantasy Live League, Graham Barfield. After Lamar Jackson basically took my soul in two leagues so far. So I have Jackson going against one team, John Paulson from 4-for-4. And then I have matchups against Jackson in two other leagues. One is against Jeff Garland from Curb Your Enthusiasm and 6 points for every touchdown regardless. So I'm down 47 in that. You're kicking my ass. You're up 37. Like, anybody who faced Lamar Jackson, I feel like, I mean, you're in a state of depression right now because you worked all season to get to this point to make it to the championship, and Lamar Jackson takes your soul.
Not if you have Lamar in almost every league, and you have Mark Ingram in almost every league.
Don't.
And you have Mark Andrews everywhere. Look, last night
you have a lot of Ravens.
Yeah, this was very good. This was very good. No, look, Lamar Jackson, man. I really at this point, like 37 fantasy points in the fantasy semifinals. Now his seventh game of 30 or more points this year, Fabs.
Unbelievable.
The previous record was 5 by a bunch of really great quarterbacks. I mean, like Steve Young even had like 5 games of 30 or more points back in 1994. Cam Newton did it a bunch. In his record-breaking season, Aaron Rodgers has had a bunch of big years. But this is just something totally different that we're witnessing in Lamar. He did it again.
Yeah, and he did it with his arm. All those idiots out there who said, he should be a running back. He had 5 touchdown passes again.
He was dropping straight down.
Dude,
the only play that he really missed was the one to Mark Andrews that was wide open.
He would have had 6. And thank God he missed that one.
And that wasn't even that bad of a throw. Andrews just kind of like looked like he was bumbling a little bit going downfield on it.
So, and yesterday, you know, of course, you know, I'm on fantasy Twitter and you know, you listen to things. Anybody who thought for 1 second to bench Lamar Jackson should never play fantasy football again. Never. Never. At least not this season. God, come on. Guys, he's if he plays week 17, which maybe he's not going to because the Ravens are locking everything up at this point. Like, he's going to break Mahomes' record for the most fantasy points by a quarterback.
I would be shocked if Mahomes.
I don't think he's going to play week 17. Why? That's going to be an RG3 game.
Yeah, I would be shocked if Lamar played in week 17. By the way that the Ravens' playoff chances are crumbling. If the Patriots and the Chiefs both lose this weekend, the Ravens, I think, can lock down the number one seed. But they're not going to bench Lamar
in week 16. Yeah, I don't think so.
They wouldn't give him 3 weeks off.
Yeah. So if you had Lamar, congratulations. Good chance you're moving on. Barfield.
Jerk. I don't know.
I'm done.
It's a long week.
It's over. Garland's going to kick. I'm done in those two weeks.
It is certainly hard to come back from a near 40 burger from your quarterback.
Near 50 in the AFC League. And for those of you, I mean, for me, I'm in 9 semis right now out of my 12 leagues. Like, there's no way I'm going to get into the finals in all 9. I'm kind of just shooting for the moon because at this point, like, all the best players you're either going against or you have. So let's move on here. Mark Ingram had another strong game, nearly 24 fantasy points, 2 touchdowns, doing Mark Ingram things. Now has 14 touchdowns this year. One of the best draft bargains in fantasy football. And Graham, I have him in a few leagues. You obviously have him in a few leagues. So, pretty solid performance there from Ingram. Marquise Brown, I liked him yesterday. I talked about it on NFL Now because the Jets suck against perimeter receivers. He gave you a touchdown and 14 points, and he may have had more, but that Jet defender was draped all over him in the end zone, pass interference, and then, of course, the Ravens go on eventually score a touchdown on that drive.
It's almost like covering a linebacker on Marquise Brown is a bad idea.
You think? Seth Roberts had a big game if you were in DFS. Mark Andrews, as you mentioned, another big game. Jameson Crowder was the one that came out of nowhere. I had said, hey, 3 games in a row, he's doing nothing. Now he's playing against Marlon Humphrey and the Ravens. I'm sitting him, and he goes for 27. And it was funny, too, because, like, he dropped that pass, and it was the easiest pass that any receiver is ever going to have for a touchdown in the history of the NFL. And then the very next play, right?
Yeah.
He catches a way harder pass and scores a touchdown.
Yeah, super frustrating because I benched Jameson Crowder in all the leagues that I had him in. And pretty much I think everybody else did as well.
Everybody did.
But yeah, no, and this is another good game for Robbie Anderson as well, who has really come on strong as of late. The Jets, I don't know. Look, it's the Jets. But this offense, as constructed with Anderson and Crowder, is really good. They just need a number one receiver. I think the Jets could.
But Anderson does this every year. Like, at the end of the year,
he does.
Good. Le'Veon Bell, let's bring in our pal, Edward Murphy, who has Le'Veon against me, right, in the podcast Listeners League. And 87 yards on the ground, but only 2 catches.
Yeah, I watched some of that game until it was a blowout. Then I had to switch it off because it was just hard to watch. But I was hoping Le'Veon would get just more catches, maybe, you know, get a score and help me out versus you. Yeah. But it's weird in fantasy. Like, when you're successful on the ground, sometimes it does not help translate to a victory for you because yep. the points just don't add up.
So yeah.
Unfortunately, that's what the case was last night.
I watched that whole damn game because I have Justin Tucker in, like, four leagues, and I'm like, can you kick a field goal, please? Please kick a field goal. Oh, come on. No, not another touchdown. Come on. Jeez. And he ended up, and he missed an extra point, too. So that may have...
Lamar's the GOAT.
That may have hurt my chances.
You can't
kick
field goals when you've got the GOAT playing quarterback.
Everyone's going to draft him in the first round next year in home leagues. Everyone. And they're all going to be disappointed. But he's bananas good, man. He is this year's Patrick Mahomes.
Hell, no doubt.
At this point, we're in week 15, and people are wondering if they should keep playing Mahomes. That's fantasy football for you. All right, let's get into the week 15 matchups here. The rest of the slate being played on Sunday and Monday night. Let's start off. Patriots. Bengals. Julian Edelman is missing practice time. I think it was more sort of just maintenance. He should be fine to go, and he's a great player this week. Auden Tate was placed on injured reserve. What are we feeling about Tom Brady this week? Tom Brady has not been good lately. Nope. For most of the second half of the season. Had that one decent game over 20 fantasy points, but a lot of it was garbage time. Cincinnati, are we playing him?
You know, I mean, Brady has been just a mediocre QB2 over the last 7 weeks. He's finished as the 17th quarterback or worse in five of his last seven games. And in that span, I mean, Brady has just been absolutely abysmal in terms of his efficiency metrics, completing 57% of his passes for only 5.8 yards per attempt in the span. You know, the spot is right, obviously. But I have to imagine there's probably some better quarterback plays on this slate that yep. I think we can target over Brady this week.
Yeah, he's a QB2, super flex, that kind of thing.
Julian Edelman has just been on a tear.
You know, he's smashing.
You know, he's seen 10 or more targets now in 8 straight games.
I need him, too.
Yeah.
Because I need him against you. I need a big game from Edelman. James White's the only running back that you can start. Listen, the matchup is great. Sony Michel has been awful, okay, and I've used this every single week, but he's averaging like 6 or fewer points with Rex Burkhead active.
Yep.
The two cannot coexist and produce.
Yep.
So as good as the matchup is for Sony Michel, I can't play him. Yep. Patriots defense, get them back into your lineup. We told you last week, don't play them. Get them back into your lineup. They're the best defensive play of the week. On the flip side, there's only really two guys that were concerned. No one's playing Andy Dalton. No one's playing Tyler Eifert. Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd are the only startable fantasy assets in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Do you start either one of them?
I think you can go to Mixon just because the volume has been there.
Scares me, bro. You are one of the smartest guys in the business.
I don't know about that.
I have Mixon and Connor. I have Singletary and Cole Beasley on that team.
Right.
I'm not sure where to go there. Still going to be batting that around. I have another league where I have Mixon and Connor again. It's tough, bro.
So here's my rationale for Mixon this week. Since their week 9 bye, Mixon has averaged 23 touches per game. And with Dalton back over the last couple weeks, he's quietly like finally been more involved in their passing game. He's caught 7 balls for 66 yards and has 4 targets in both games. Now, you know, obviously the Patriots could come in and get a lead and all that, but if they do get behind, if the Bengals do get behind, Joe Mixon is finally, we can actually like project some targets going his way. And that's great for fantasy. Like Eddie just mentioned, you know, the targets are way more valuable to our running backs than rushing yards. And if Mixon is, you know, with Mixon finally being involved in their passing game here, I see another huge workload for Mixon.
I know,
Mixon.
The Patriots have given up nothing
they have.
To running backs. They, nothing.
They have, but at the same time, you know, Mixon is going to play almost every snap. He's played over Gio Bernard finally, you know, on passing downs here recently. I'm not expecting like a big game from Mixon, but I think he's a solid RB2. If not a solid RB2, a really good flex play.
Here's what we've seen so far this year as it pertains to the running backs against New England. RB29, RB29, RB31, RB28, RB37, RB50, RB22, RB25, RB20.
Yeah,
they don't give up anything, yeah, man.
They don't give up touchdowns. That's
yeah,
the thing.
They don't give up anything.
Yeah.
So I think the best game that anybody's had against them this year, one of them is like Duke Johnson. which came within the last couple of weeks.
That came 2 weeks ago because Duke got caught a bunch of balls.
Zeke was the RB9 against them a couple of weeks ago as well, but that's Zeke. So start mixing with caution this week. All right, Buccaneers at Lions. Now, we're seeing some reports that Jameis Winston was throwing tennis balls yesterday, but actually was throwing a football today. A football? Football? What's a football? And he looks like he's a go. He's got to be a start for you, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Against Detroit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Watson, Breeze, Mahomes, Tannehill, and Dak this week, maybe over Winston. That's it?
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Detroit is just getting absolutely ravaged through the air at this point. I mean, no Mike Evans this week, but I'm not entirely sure that's going to matter for Jameis. Look, it's not pretty to watch at times, but Jameis has been, like, for fantasy, he's had a very high floor. You know, he's thrown over 300 yards in 9 of his last 11 games.
So Winston on the injury list, and you know, there's always the chance that he could get hurt during the game, but, I mean...
Well, he came back in the game last week with the injury and played fine.
Mike Evans, we know, is out for the season. That's a big loss. Marvin Jones also put on injured reserve. So sticking with the Buccaneers passing game theme, Chris Godwin is obviously a must-start. We don't have to tell you about that. But if you had to go between Justin Watson and Breshad Perriman, where are you going?
I've seen a little bit of Watson hype this week, but I'm a Perriman guy. He's been their number three receiver all year long, and you know, quietly has kind of posted two solid games back-to-back, 587 and 370-1 over the last 2 weeks. And now he's going to play nearly every snap against this Lions secondary that just has no chance at stopping the Bucs. I like Perriman quite a bit this week.
Perriman is a first-round pick. Like, he's one of, like, the long litany of, like, first-round wide receivers who have sucked.
I'm into Perriman this week. I'd play him over, you know, like, guys like Tyrell Williams and maybe even Golden Tate this week.
Ooh, I like that.
O.J. Howard is another.
I'm just going to mention
him. O.J. Howard is, I think, maybe the top streamer of this.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's come back alive over the last couple of weeks.
Last 2 weeks,
561, 473 in his last two games. Now, you know, Mike Evans opens up nearly 10 targets per game in this Bucs passing attack. You know, look, Tampa Bay might not have to throw the ball a ton here. Mm-hmm. Like, Jameis probably won't have to throw it 45 or 50 times like we've seen in some weeks to beat Detroit. But, you know, if he's going to throw it 30 to 38, 40 times like he always does, there's going to be enough volume to go around for Godwin to smash and Perriman and Howard to both be pretty decent plays. Because now all these Bucs targets are kind of consolidating without Mike Evans.
Yeah, Bucs defense also a nice streamer this week. On the Detroit side of things, David Blah is going to be the quarterback again. And outside of the first two quarters against Chicago, he's been a third-string quarterback. Bo Scarborough is a fade for me. Even though he's getting all the touches, he catches no passes. He's touchdown dependent. He doesn't score touchdowns. Kenny Golladay, I mean, he could be a top-10 play because you would think that all the targets without Marvin Jones there are going to go to Golladay. Danny Amendola also potentially a streamer there in deeper leagues. Texans at Titans. The injuries here, we're looking at Will Fuller, who, if he plays, he's a sneaky little play. Maybe you disagree with me. This is going to be a shootout, bro.
Yeah.
Like, neither one of these defenses, this is going to be an absolute shootout there in Tennessee.
You know, I agree. The thing is Will Fuller's hamstring is just like...
I know.
It's just totally unpredictable. Yep. I mean, he could come out and it feels great Sunday morning and he has no pain and he has, you know, he runs with full speed and he goes just berserk on the Titans, but it could also act up after three plays and he might not see the field again.
Yep.
With that being said, DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson are just obvious smash plays this week.
What do you think I get from Watson? I have Watson against Garland this week, and of course he has Lamar, who had almost 50 against me. In a six passing TD sort of league, I'm hoping I get 35 from him. I'm going to need it.
I think he has that 30-point ceiling this week. This game has the highest over-under of the week at 51 points. And both the Titans and the Texans secondary are both really falling apart. I mean, Houston is dead last in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks over the last 5 weeks. I think this game could go completely nuts.
Yeah.
I wish it was in Houston. I wish it was in the Dome, but...
There's no weather issues really anywhere in the league this weekend, which is a good thing. So, Carlos Hyde or Duke, what are we doing there?
I actually think Duke is the better play at this point. Yeah, just because he's more involved in their passing game. Quietly has 11 receptions over their last 2 weeks. And Carlos Hyde, at this point, he's just a touchdown-dependent, you know, flex option at best.
Yep.
Just because he's not involved at all in their passing game.
Yep. Ryan Tannehill, dare I say, is a must-start. Now, if you have Lamar Jackson, duh. Okay, you're not going to freaking play Ryan Tannehill. I have Tannehill ranked ahead of Mahomes this week. And you can call me crazy, but Mahomes has not been good. He's not 100%. And Tannehill has just been freaking balling. Okay? I get it. It's Ryan Tannehill. All right? This guy has been... He's been one of the five best quarterbacks in the National Football League since he took over that starting job from Marcus Mariota, who, oh, by the way, that guy is far off the radar now. He's going to be on another team next season, I would think. But he's given you 19 points in every game but one. He's given you over 27 in two of his last three. We talked about Houston's defense. Houston's defense made Drew Lock look like John Elway last week. I love Ryan Tannehill. I love him this week. I think he has another huge game. Derrick Henry has the hamstring. They've been giving him time off in practice. He's going to be a go. He's obviously a must start. And A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, two of his last three games, pretty good. And I think he is a flex starter this week.
Actually, I think he's a top 20 play at the
look position. At that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 60 yards or a touchdown and five of seven Tannehill starts. You know, obviously, the problem with Brown and this whole Titans passing attack this whole year has been pass volume.
Yep.
But in a game here against this Texans team that should be back and forth, I think Tannehill and the Titans should have to throw quite a bit. And if they do, A.J. Brown is going to go nuts because Tannehill only has eyes for A.J. Brown.
Yep. Broncos at Chiefs. Injuries, Noah Fant returned to practice yesterday, so you should be safe to fire him up. And Damian Williams also was back at practice this week, which just clouds that Chiefs backfield, which I would avoid if at all possible, because you never know who's going to get the touches in that backfield. Now, let's start off with Drew Lock. Drew Lock, now his first game, I mean, they won because the Chargers found a very strange way to lose a game, which they typically do. And then last week in Houston, he looked great. Like I said, Drew Lock's not that good yet, guys, okay? He's going to go in Arrowhead Stadium, one of the loudest venues in the National Football League, and he might end up getting spooked a little bit there. That's going to be a tough place for him to play. That's why I really love the Chiefs' defense this week, and I am not playing Drew Lock in a super flex or two QB league.
I'm with you on this. Just think about it. You know, on the road against a dead Texans defense is just a totally different spot than going into Arrowhead to face the Chiefs as 10-point favorites. I mean, look, Drew Lock has acquitted himself nicely here, but really outside of Phil Lindsay and Cortland Sutton, I'm pretty much not playing any Broncos.
Fant, no Fant this week for you.
Fant, if he plays, he's a fine streaming option for sure. I mean, the Chiefs have allowed the most receptions to tight ends this year. Mm-hmm. And obviously Denver should be trailing in this game. If Fant plays, he's a great streaming option. I think I like OJ Howard just a little bit more in that matchup against Detroit. But certainly Fant is a good streaming play if he does suit up. Phil Lindsay, man, he is overdue for a huge game.
Yep.
Overdue.
I mean, every week I have him as a stardom. And I mean, last week he could have had a huge game, but remember he had that touchdown taken back because of the penalty. He did have a touchdown in the game. Start him as an RB2. I'm going to give you a little bit of a interesting stat here. Okay. So I'm looking at the numbers from the last 4 weeks. Of course, this doesn't include Lamar Jackson's bananas game last night. Lamar is the number one quarterback in fantasy football seemingly every single week. But over the last 4 weeks, can you guess how many quarterbacks have more fantasy points than Patrick Mahomes?
It'd probably be like, did that include the injury? No.
They did have a bye week.
That would include their bye week. Yep. I'd say like 20.
23.
Yeah.
And of course, he did have the bye week, but even his fantasy points per game over the last three games.
Right.
I mean, dude,
I know
he's had like 15.
Look, I know you're sort of off Mahomes, but
No. A lot of people are going to play him.
Yeah.
I feel like the only people who could potentially go another direction are those who have Ryan Tannehill, because you don't have Mahomes and Wilson. You don't have Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. You don't have Mahomes and Breeze.
Right.
So
I hear you on that, but I'm still playing Mahomes over Tannehill this week. Look, Denver has allowed the second most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks over their last four games, and in that span, Josh Allen, Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson have all finished top 10 against Denver. This is not the same Broncos secondary. They've really started to fall apart here late in the season, and Mahomes is just so overdue for a huge game. I just can't imagine. You know, look, they could be playing the Lions, but this is an amazing spot at home, favored, huge total for the Chiefs. They can't run the ball.
Yep.
I think this is just a spot where Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey get freaky this week.
Just keep in mind, though, okay, this season, Mahomes against Detroit had 18 points. Against Houston had 18-8. Not very good. The last time he played the Broncos was 7.2, but I believe that was the game that he was injured in. He had 19 against Oakland. That's great. And he hasn't been as reliable, and I don't think he's 100%. I have him sixth. I mean, dude, you're starting him.
Yeah.
But if you just personally for me,
sure.
If I have Ryan Tannehill, I don't care what his name is. He's balling right now.
No, I get it. Mahomes has just been hitting his floor. I think this is the chance for him to hit a ceiling.
Anybody else you're starting from the Chiefs that aren't obvious?
Nope.
Okay.
Yep.
No Shady, no Watkins. Okay.
Yep. Sammy Watkins, man.
Butker should have a big game. Heck, we got to talk about kickers, right, Eddie? I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's the playoffs, man. Week 15. Let's go. Dolphins at Giants. Now, the biggest injuries in this game will affect whether or not you start Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? So, Devontae Parker, still dealing with the concussion. Albert Wilson got banged up. Alan Hearns is a little bit banged up for the Dolphins. Giants side, Daniel Jones is not going to play. Golden Tate's banged up. I don't know what's going on with Evan Engram. I have no idea.
Yeah, he's not
going to
play.
He lost last week in my celebrity league. So, but going back to Devontae Parker, he shed his non-contact jersey at Friday's practice. So, I guess that's a good thing. If Parker plays, he plays for you. Albert Wilson also shed the non-contact jersey. Both of these guys are still in concussion protocol. So you have to see, I guess, right at game time, whether or not they're going to play. Obviously, Wilson doesn't really matter as much as Devontae. The Giants just cut
Janoris Jenkins.
Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah.
And Janoris Jenkins, like, tweeted out, you know, thank God or something
Eddie,
like that. To that,
Eddie, I did not see Janoris Jenkins make a single open field tackle all year.
Yeah.
It's weird because he's like had a stretch of tweeting out the stuff he's been doing well. And like since like week three, he's rated well, according to PFF. But it's just, I mean, what he did obviously is deplorable. I think the move makes sense while you cut him. It just think the Giants get nothing in return for like what was their top, one of their top defensive players.
It's right. Just,
but I think for once the Giants did the right thing, which they have not done in a very long time.
Right.
So
if Parker plays, he's a must start. And if Parker plays, then Fitzpatrick looks really good, right? I mean, I don't have him ranked very highly right now because I don't know if Parker's going to play, but if he does, goodness gracious, that could be a great matchup because the Giants' defense was terrible before they cut Jack Rabbit. So let's keep tabs on the status of those players. Moving forward, any interest in Patrick Laird this week?
I mean, he's a fine desperation play.
Okay.
Last week, obviously, played nearly the majority of basically all the Dolphin snaps, got 19 touches. And, you know, New York has been fine. They've been better on run defense in recent weeks. But Laird, what we really want is those checkdowns from Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Laird is going to be involved in their passing game. Has shown he's a decent pass catcher. I think you can get away with Laird as a kind of like a streaming RB2 flex play.
Are you digging on Gesicki this week?
Yeah, I think I do like Gesicki quite a bit this week. Even if Devontae Parker plays, the Dolphins should have to throw quite a bit in this game just because they have not been able to run the ball all year long. It's going to force Ryan Fitzpatrick to drop back over 40 times again. And Gesicki had a bad game last week, but you know this is still a good spot for him.
Especially if those wide receivers are banged up and not able to play on the Giants side, you're still playing Saquon. He's not 100%, guys. He hasn't been ever since he had that high ankle sprain. You still got to throw him out there. Now, here's the interesting part, right? We said Golden Tate's banged up. I don't know if he's trending toward playing or not. Keep tabs on his status. But Darius Slayton has been balling out, okay? And nobody's picking him off the waiver wire. So now I think they have after what he did against the Eagles on Monday night. But is it Slayton this week or is it Shepard? Keep in mind the Dolphins have given up the most fantasy points to wide receivers over the last 4 weeks, and they've given up the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks. So is it Shepard? Is it Darius?
I like Slayton.
And do you actually go with Eli Manning in a 2QB league?
I like Slayton as the top Giants receiver.
Okay.
I mean, he's just gotten white hot over the last month. He's seen seven or more targets in four straight games. And Golden Tate has kind of faded here as of late. You know, maybe he's less than 100% battling an injury. Sterling Shepard he's been held under like 90 yards in three combined games since returning.
Yep.
Slayton's really the only guy who's flashed a ceiling here recently, and the Dolphins just routinely get burnt against boundary receivers, and Slayton is almost exclusively a lined out wide.
Yep. By the way, Evan Engram's not going to play again. You can cut him at this point. I love you, Evan. Got to get on the field. Moving on. Eagles, Redskins. Alshon Jeffrey's out for the year. Nelson Aguilar's banged up. Darius Geis, we know, got put on IR. Those are the injuries there. Jordan Howard's not going to play again.
Right.
It looks like he's going to be out again. But Boston Scott came out of freaking nowhere. And I don't know if he took over that top spot from Miles Sanders, but he at least made himself available as a committee back. Do we like either one of these players this week? Because, I mean, Miles Sanders has gotten a lot of touches over the last 3-4 weeks because Howard's been out. He's really only had that one really good game, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I know this is your guy.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely he was my guy for sure, but he has not not had a great season.
Yeah,
I'm definitely concerned that Miles Sanders has probably lost his bell cow role. I mean, with Howard out in their three previous games, he played well over 80% of the snaps in every game, and now Boston Scott looked explosive, gave them a nice boost against last week. Had 16 touches, 128 scrimmage yards, and a score. Was fantastic in their passing game. Now, granted, obviously, Miles Sanders missed a few series with a minor injury in that game, and obviously, you know, Scott's involvement was contingent upon Alshon Jeffrey and all their guys getting hurt in that game. But with that said, Scott has certainly earned more work, and I think he'll get it here against Washington. But I still think Sanders is a decent enough flex play, probably just because the touches will be there, simply because, really, Fabs, I mean, the Eagles don't have any other options. You know, it's Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert in their passing game. And I'd imagine both Sanders and Scott will be involved in their
checkdown game. I picked him up in a couple of leagues this week. Surprisingly, he was available, with all the targets he could get against Washington. He is a potential top 12 play. Heck, better than potential. I think he is going to be a top 12 play at least this week in fantasy leagues. I'm interested to get your take on the Eagles defense. Now, I have them in my top 10 because they're playing Dwayne Haskins. And, you know, typically that's a big part of where you stream defenses, the quarterback that defense is facing. And Haskins is very good. A couple of weeks ago, the Eagles went to Miami and got boat raced by Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins. Okay. And then this past week, they were a popular streamer against the Giants and they didn't get it done. Now, the matchup's good. But do we have any faith in the Eagles defense this week?
I do. Okay. You know, just because Dwayne Haskins has been, I mean, he's just been a sack machine. Since he took over as the starting quarterback, he's averaging like 4.5 sacks per game. And even though the Eagles' secondary is just trash, I mean, their front seven is going to get after Dwayne Haskins and hopefully force a few turnovers. I like the Eagles' defense quite a bit this week.
Okay. So my guy DG is out. Any interest in Adrian Peterson as a flex starter this week? I mean, I could see a scenario where he gets 18 touches.
Oh,
easy.
Oh, yeah. He is going to be fed the rock.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Chris Thompson is back, and they didn't have Chris Thompson active and healthy for much of the middle of the season. But when Bill Callahan took over as their interim head coach back in week six, he gave Peterson a monster role. He handled at least 16 touches and played over 60% of Washington snaps in four games. Before Darius guys came back, he went over 80 scrimmage yards in every game. And obviously the Eagles front seven is very good, but the touches should be there for him.
Yeah, by the way, I'm sorry to cut you off. Nelson Aguilar didn't practice today, so he's not going to play. Once again, what about Terry McLaurin? He had that sick, just wicked catch in the game last week, or he wouldn't have really done much.
McLaurin ripped the Eagles in his debut. He went 5-125 and won all the way back in week one. But that was with Case Keenum. It is what it is at this point. The matchup is fantastic. McLaurin is extremely talented and definitely liable to rip the Eagles for a few big plays. It's just I don't know if Dwayne Haskins will be able to hit him.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Seahawks at Panthers now. It would be the ultimate cruelty of the fantasy football gods if Chris Carson went belly up this week, because I have him in my top five. Everyone does. This is a smash spot of all smash spots for any running back this season. Carson, no Rashad Penny, on the road against the Panthers, who are giving up touchdowns like, I mean, candy canes at Christmas time. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're absolutely getting crushed. So he's a must start. Let's hope he gets in there and produces the numbers that we all expect him to produce. Greg Olsen banged up, which means to me Ian Thomas is a nice streamer at the tight end position if Olsen is unable to go. Now, back to the Seahawks. Russell Wilson has sort of done a flip of his typical seasons. He normally starts slow and ends strong. This season, he'd been great in the first half, and now, not so much. Right. With the projected workload for Chris Carson and Seattle's projected, you know, being on the run, in terms of the game script, how much faith do you have in Russell this week?
That's the big concern here is the Seahawks could build a lead against Carolina and just run the clock out and run the ball exclusively in the second half. And that, you know, that's something we've seen, that's a story we've seen play out quite a bit this year, where, you know, even though Russell Wilson is fantastic and their best avenue to score points, Seattle is completely fine with just laying on the ball. In the second half here, Kyle Allen, we just desperately need him to be able to keep up just a little bit with Seattle this week, and I'm not entirely sure we can count on that. I'm playing Tannehill over Russell Wilson this week. I know you're a big Tannehill guy this week. You'll have no qualms with that. The even bigger question in this game really is, what do we do with Tyler Lockett?
Let me give you a few stats here, okay? And I had said this on the show yesterday. I'm not going to tell you to start or sit Lockett. I have him as a sit-em, but I have a caveat. He's been one of the best wide receivers in fantasy football up until the last 3 or 4 weeks. And all the reports that we're hearing right now is that he looks great. He's 100%. He had been banged up. Since week 11, Tyler Lockett is the wide receiver 99. And during that time, 79 wide receivers have more targets than him. And in a game where we are projecting a game script of run, run, run for Seattle against a Panthers team that's only given up 4 touchdowns to the slot all season long, I'm not going to tell you to sit him if you don't have a better option, but you have to be thinking about it.
Yeah. What are the better options for you right now? Because I'm looking at it like, you know, are we starting like Darius Slayton?
Yes.
Over Tyler Lockett? Are we starting Tyler Boyd? Probably not.
No, I don't think I'm going Tyler Boyd over him. I'd go Deebo Samuel over him. I would go, geez, man, at this point, I mean, I don't know if I'd, I don't know if I'd go Mike Williams over him. I don't know if I'm that bold.
Right.
But I'd be thinking about Anthony Miller, who's been just great. I would have started Hollywood Brown over him. Actually, maybe I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
That one's tough. But Deebo, D.D. Westbrook, I would start over him. Emmanuel Sanders, I would start over him. A.J. Brown, I would start over him. Cortland Sutton, Michael Gallup, I'd start over him. Jarvis, I'd start over
him. There are quite a few receivers. That's kind of my point I want to bring up. There's quite a few really good receiver plays this week.
Yeah.
And I think you could get away with benching Lockett. And you know, he could have a good game. He could have 4 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. But there are a lot of receivers that have that type of ability this week.
Yeah. For me, Jacob Hollister is a tough one. I have him outside of my top 12 tight ends this week. The Panthers actually been pretty tough on tight ends, so I'd rather have like a Tyler Higbee, for example, who was on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. Ian Thomas is, if Folsom doesn't play, I can't tell you how good a matchup this would. This would be 10 targets last week. Seattle's given up the second most points to tight ends. DJ Moore is obviously a must start. And go ahead.
Olsen's status is huge news because he got back to a limited practice earlier this week. Not sure if he's going to be cleared to play.
Right.
But if he does not play, Ian Thomas is, like, if you picked up Ian Thomas last week and streamed him, you can get him back in your lineup this week because the Seahawks are just so brutally bad against tight ends. Over the last month, no team has allowed more fantasy points to tight ends than the Seahawks.
Joe Person, who follows the Carolina Panthers, is tweeting out that Greg Olsen is practicing. So keep tabs on that,
guys. He still has to clear the last leg of the concussion protocol, but it looks like he might return.
Yep. Bears at Packers. And, oh, by the way, Seahawks defense is a good streamer against Carolina and Kyle Allen. Bears at Packers seems like a pretty clean game from an injury perspective.
Yeah, really, really straightforward, clean game for both sides of the ball. Taylor Gabriel is going to miss another game with his concussion, and this is just another huge spot for Allen Robinson. But, you know, really both sides of the ball here, Fabs, are very straightforward to figure out.
Are you playing Trubisky, though?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, it's been great to see that he's actually shown a little bit of signs of life, and it's really helped both Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller, who you just mentioned a few moments ago, kind of bounce, I won't say bounce back, but, you know, be at least consistent.
Last 3 or 4 games have been very good.
Right, at least be consistent, and that's kind of what we've wanted. David Montgomery is just, he is what he is at this point. I mean, he's a flex play every single week. And
yeah.
You have to hope he gets a touchdown.
Exactly.
But Allen Robinson is just
smashing.
Fantastic play this year.
Yeah.
This
he's
week.
Been great, man.
Without Taylor Gabriel in now, I think, 6 games this season, let me just list off A-Rob's stat lines real quick. 7 for 77, 797, and 2 touchdowns. 10, 87, and 1 touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 6, 131, and 1, 8, 86, and 1, and 5, 48, and 2 touchdowns in the 6 games Gabriel has missed. 10.7 targets per game.
Yeah,
I mean there's no way you're taking that out of your lineup.
It's funny too because, like, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. was like a second round pick. Allen Robinson probably went where, 5, 6, something like that.
Fourth, fifth round, sixth
Robinson
round pick.
Is just
he's obliterating.
I don't know if he's elite. He's pretty damn close to being elite, and I'm happy for him because he's a good guy. You know, he had that one big year in Jacksonville, then he had some injuries. Now he's healthy, and even with a, you know, so-so quarterback under center, Robinson's getting the job done. And as for Trubisky, I mean, he's a 2QB super flex league guy, but I mean, if he goes into Lambeau Field and gives you 20 points, okay, I'll give him credit. He's played the Cowboys and they stink. He's played the Giants and they stink. He's played the Lions twice and they stink.
Yep.
When he's played tough defenses, Trubisky has stunk. Now, if the Bears get out there and allow him to run with the football, okay, a little bit, which they did against the Cowboys, that's going to help his value, obviously. If they don't, I just don't feel like he's going to put up enough passing yards and touchdowns through the air against Green Bay to make him worth starting. Aaron Rodgers, are we off of him again? Boy, I tell you, he killed you last week.
Yeah.
He killed you last week.
This has kind of been the story for Rodgers' season. Yep. It's just been all or nothing. He's had some just monster games, and he's had some extremely low-floor games when the Packers just kind of sit on the ball and run the ball with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. The key to this game, for me, is really, does Chicago keep up? Do they keep up pace? Does Trubisky and the Bears keep showing signs of life on offense and force Green Bay to force the issue? And if that does happen, I think Rodgers will be a rock-solid QB one play because, mm-hmm. you know, even though Chicago's defense is very good and very formidable, and they haven't really given up a bunch of big games through the air this year, you know, really, it'd be tough to bench, you know, Rodgers. You know, you're playing Ryan Tannehill over him.
Yep.
The real question is like Baker versus Rodgers, who we're about to get to.
I know, dude.
That's the real question.
Yeah.
I think if you were streaming this week, obviously you're playing Tannehill over Rodgers, but Baker versus Rodgers is the real question, and that's really close.
Mm-hmm. It is. Aaron Jones should have another big game. Davante Adams. He popped up on the injury report with a toe, limited practice, but he should be fine. So get him into your lineup. Vikings at Chargers. Now, the big injury news here is that Adam Thielen's been back at practice.
Yeah.
Apparently had a really good practice yesterday.
He's going to return.
Do you trust him against the Chargers?
I don't trust that his hamstring is going to, you know, not bulk up again.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's Adam Thielen against, you know, a really tough secondary. I've gone back and forth on this one all week. And if Thielen plays, mm-hmm. I think I'd still bench him just because, look,
I'm with you.
The Vikings can get out to a huge lead here, and we'll get to this in a second about Dalvin Cook this week. But the Vikings could get out to a lead over the Chargers. Granted, this game is on the road; it's in LA. But the Vikings could get out to a lead and just sit on the ball and not throw very much. And Thielen, you know, in his first game back, the Vikings obviously have playoff aspirations. They're not going to push him very hard. If it does tighten up on him again. I think Thielen's probably best left on your bench this week. But Fabs, big news is Alexander Mattison has not practiced all week with an ankle injury. I guess he had that injury either in the game this past week or picked it up during practice. And if he does not play, Dalvin Cook is going to play almost every single snap.
Yeah, and the Chargers can't stop the run.
That is, Dalvin Cook might go for 35 fantasy points this week if Alexander Mattison can't suit up.
What are your thoughts on Kirk Cousins? Two straight games where he hasn't been great from a fantasy perspective.
I think there's probably just better streamers out there.
You get Thielen. So I'm going to go through a few names, and you tell me whether or not you're going to play Kirk Cousins or the name that I'm going to throw out there. I think the first one's probably pretty obvious, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
you're going to start over him. Jared Goff against my Cowboys.
I like Goff a little bit. We're going to get to that game this week, and I like Goff a little.
Carson Wentz.
Like,
did you hear Eddie? He's like, way.
Oh, man, that one's really close. I think I'd go Wentz.
Okay. Tom Brady.
Cousins.
Gardner Minshew against the Raiders.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah.
Gardner.
Philip Rivers.
Ugh. Cousins.
One more, Matt Ryan.
Oh, Cousins, yeah, for sure.
I lied. I'll get one more. If Devontae Parker is playing, Fitzpatrick or Cousins?
I like Fitzmagic this week.
This is where we're talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick in the fantasy playoffs.
Hey, no, man. I do.
Stranger things have happened, right? For the Chargers, I mean, you're starting all the obvious guys. Gordon, Eckler, Keenan. Mike Williams has started to really play well, and we know that the Vikings struggle against perimeter receivers, so he's a potential flex starter this week. Hunter Henry should be in your lineup as well. Jags at Raiders. We got a couple of big injuries in this one. DJ Chark hasn't been practicing all week.
Yeah, DJ
Chark. With the foot.
I don't think he's going to play. I would be really surprised. He was in a boot after their last game, and the Jags are dead. Chark has proven himself as their number one receiver, but there's no reason for them to risk, you know, obviously a star player in the final few weeks of the season when they're just, you know, they're not playing for anything. So I think DeeDee Westbrook and Chris Conley are both viable options if you lost.
Love DeeDee this week, bro.
Yeah, if you lost Mike Evans or Calvin Ridley, both Westbrook and Conley are really strong replacement options this week.
A quick note here. Kyle Menke, who's a Detroit Lions beat writer, just tweeted out that it sure sounds like Kerryon Johnson is going to play next week.
Interesting.
If he's available in your league, pick him up. Just saying. Just in case, you know, just in case. At this point, hell, I mean, Evan Engram, there's people out there that you have in your roster that you could probably drop. There's only 2 weeks left, guys. So keep tabs on that. And then, of course, you know, the Josh Jacobs thing where, you know, Ian Rappaport was saying that it looks like he was trending towards playing and the MRI results good. And then Gruden came out and said, well, yeah, the MRI results were good, but that doesn't mean that he's guaranteed to play this week. We'll see what he does today and Friday. But I really feel like this is going to end up being a game time decision. Regardless, whoever starts for the Raiders in their backfield starts for you. Because the Jaguars have been getting crushed by running backs over the last 4 weeks. Most touchdowns allowed, most fantasy points allowed to the position. So whether it's Jacobs, whether it's Washington, I hope it's Jacobs because I have to play. I'm playing Garland, and Garland's got Washington as his RB2. So for selfish reasons, I'm hoping Jacobs gets out there. And, two, because Jacobs dealt with a lot of crap from idiots on Twitter about him not playing. By the way, don't do that, please.
Don't tweet players.
I know.
Don't tweet at players, please.
I mean, it's their livelihood. Come on.
Jacobs, you know, Jacobs is, if he plays this week, I couldn't imagine a better spot for him.
Jags run, are garbage.
Jags run defense is completely imploded.
Yep.
Final game in Oakland. The Raiders are going to want to send off that crowd with a big game. They certainly can because the Jags have just been not stopping anything.
So you're starting Waller and you're starting whoever their backfield starter is. Anybody else?
I want to like Tyrell Williams, but he's way less than 100%.
Yeah, and Derek Carr? I mean, Jaguars also not... No? Okay.
Nah, you know, you mentioned Gardner. I like Gardner better if you're looking for a streamer this week.
Yep.
I think I like Mitch Trubisky, Ryan Fitzpatrick more. So there's just better desperation guys. Derek Carr, you know, I've liked him in some big spots this year, and he's just... The Raiders are not throwing the ball. They're not relying on Carr to really carry their offense. Gruden's really balanced it out all year.
Yep. Yeah, so... on the Jaguars side, we mentioned Minshew being a potential streamer this week. D.D. Westbrook's a good play. Chris Conley, a little bit of a deeper play. And, of course, you're going with Leonard Fournette. Browns and Cardinals. David Njoku popped back up on the injury report. And that's interesting because, well, I mean, the Cardinals are garbage against tight ends. And Njoku would have ended up being a potential streamer. So if you're in a deeper league, keep tabs on the status. If he comes back and he's 100%, then maybe you can throw him out there. He hadn't played much this season, though, and the matchup's good.
Yeah.
So it is a risk-reward proposition.
I just don't think you can play David Njoku with much confidence in season-long this week. I mean, obviously the matchup is fantastic. We don't need to say that. But look, I just think there's better options. I mean, O.J. Howard is probably out there. Noah Fant's a good play.
Ian Thomas
is a good play. Greg Olson doesn't play. I think there's probably some better options out there. And David Njoku only ran 9 routes last week.
Yeah.
I mean... Granted, he hadn't played in like basically since the beginning of the season, but you can't trust a player who's dealing with an injury and also basically did not play the previous week coming off that injury.
I'm digging on both quarterbacks because I feel like, well, number one, this is going to be a shootout. Number two, the competitive juices will be firing at all cylinders for these two former teammates and the last two Heisman Trophy winners in Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. And the matchups are great. I mean, Arizona has allowed the most passing yards per game and the fifth most fantasy points to quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks. So this could end up going high. I don't know what the over-under is on this game. I'm sure it's probably up there. But I'm starting Baker if I need a quarterback. I'm starting Murray. Both of the Browns running backs I'm starting. I don't know what's going on in Arizona's backfield. David Johnson scored last week. He's upset that he's not getting enough playing time. He's not touching the football enough. I don't know if the squeaky wheel is going to get the grease. I don't really trust Kenyon Drake in this spot. We've been saying this all year. At some point, OBJ is going to come back. Eddie, you can get in on this one too because you're a Giant guy. It has not happened. Now, the matchup this week is great again, but I thought it was good last week too.
Yeah.
If you have D.D. Westbrook and D.J. Chark doesn't play.
Yeah.
If you have a wide receiver, Michael Gallup, for example. If you have... I'm trying to think of some other guys that are kind of on like the same sort of level as Odell Beckham Jr. If you have Cortland Sutton, if you have A.J. Brown or Emmanuel Sanders, is OBJ a fade?
I think I'd play Brown. over him, but man, the upside here is so good.
But every week it is. He's not doing anything.
Well, I won't say it's been good every single week because they've played a really tough schedule, and OBJ has obviously been less than 100%. This week is just the Cardinals aren't covering anybody. And Patrick Peterson is not Patrick Peterson anymore. He has played extremely poorly.
Bro, he played the Bengals last week.
Yeah. Well, Bengals quietly have not been terrible against
Patrick. I mean, like,
they've not been terrible.
Okay. All right.
Baker, the bigger, yeah. I get you. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But at the same time, God, I know it's just been. It's
and
been
you
so
say,
hard
and I know, I know, I know. Like on the tip of your tongue,
yeah.
You want to say it's Odell Beckham Jr., but it's not.
It's not. It's not exactly. It's not OBJ.
It's not.
It's not the same OBJ. It's not been the same OBJ all year. I mean, obviously, it's just. Yeah,
Eddie, what do you think?
I mean, at this point, I don't know how much you could trust Odell Beckham. Yeah. Like every other day is a new article out about him wanting to leave, and there's just kind of issues there. I just feel like they're not on the same page as Baker, and the offense as a whole is not on the same page as with Freddie Kitchens. So
you can't trust him, but I don't know if I'd go as far to say like you're playing Didi over him, Didi Westbrook. Even though I do like Westbrook this week, but guys like Manny Sanders, AJ Brown, Michael Gallup are all good plays over Beckham. Mm-hmm. But it just really is dependent on your roster. I think this week that's really what it comes down to. If you made the fantasy semifinals with OBJ and your team, I have OBJ and quite a few teams, and most of those teams are dead.
So, yeah. It's tough to draft a guy in the second round and have him do what OBJ has done, which is next to nothing. So continuing with this game here, the Cardinals have been very generous to fantasy defenses in the last 4 weeks. Do we like the Browns?
Yeah. No.
Not in on it. Okay. No. All right.
I mean, if it's a fine desperation streamer, but yeah.
Right. What about Christian Kirk?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely into Christian Kirk this week. He had a good game this last week against the Steelers.
Okay. Rams and Cowboys.
I'd start Christian Kirk over OBJ in a second.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I'm there with you. Yeah. Gerald Everett continues to miss practice, which means Tyler Higbee could be a top five play. He's the tight end one in the last 2 weeks. He's been bananas good. And the Cowboys stink.
Well, think about how the Cowboys defense plays. They limit boundary receivers, and they want to force everything to the middle of the field, which should force everything.
They're giving up over five catches a game in tight end, so Higbee's a play. And you know, we talked about Jared Goff, and I have this conundrum because I have Goff and Cousins in one of my leagues. And the Cowboys, earlier in the season, they were really hard on quarterbacks. And you know, I mean, Brady didn't do much against them, but Brady hasn't really been Brady, and that was a game that weather was an issue. We've given up nearly 30 to Jeff Driscoll. We've given up over 30 to freaking Trubisky. You know, Josh Allen had a huge game against us on Thanksgiving, and I know Goff is really hard to trust. I have a feeling he's going to play well. I have a feeling that the Rams are going to put it on the Cowboys. I have a feeling that you're going to be able to trust Goff this week, that you're going to be able to play Gurley with confidence, that you're going to be able to play Robert Woods and Kupp and Higbee with confidence. Maybe not Brandon Cooks.
I feel like
the Rams are in a good spot here where they're going this way. They're going north. They're going upward. They are trending in the right direction. The Cowboys are going south. We're tanking. We stink. I'm bitter. Yeah. I'm unbiased. I love the Cowboys, but I said it a few weeks ago. I don't want them to win another game the rest of the year. I don't. We don't deserve to win that division. Jason Garrett doesn't deserve to be a head coach in the National Football League right now. And to be quite honest with you, with that defense playing the way it is, Jared Goff is a potential top 12 quarterback this week.
Yeah, I like Goff quite a bit, actually, in this game. I think this game could potentially shoot out as well. The Rams are playing really strong defense, but Dallas's offense is just a totally different beast at home. Both Dak and Amari Cooper have just gone completely ham at home this year. Cooper is going to get shadowed by Jalen Ramsey. I'm not entirely sure that matters very much just because Cooper is so good. Yep. He's less than 100% for sure, but you're playing Amari Cooper this week, and I think Dak has a monster score.
Yeah, I do too.
In this game.
Gallup is also a really good play, at least for me.
For sure, Gallup is a good play as well. You know, this game certainly could go back and forth. Really, the only guy I don't like in this game is Brandon Cooks. I mean, just because he's not been involved in their offense. Robert Woods is quietly taken over as the number one receiver for the Rams. The Rams are playing a lot more two tight end sets, and last week Cooper Kupp played a season low in snaps.
Yep.
This week I think it was a little bit different. I think they're going to have to open it up a little bit to try to keep up with Dallas. But I'm with you. I think the Rams go into Dallas and win this game.
Yep. I just got a text from Rick Stroud with the Buccaneers, and he said that Jameis Winston is a full go. He's throwing.
That's what we want to hear.
Atlanta at San Francisco. This should be an interesting one. I'm interested to get your take on this. Calvin Ridley on injury reserve, that stinks because he had been so good. I really want to know what your take is on Matt Ryan here, okay? So Matt Ryan last week had a pretty good game, okay? And this week, the matchup's awful, but Richard Sherman's banged up, right? The Niners have some key injuries on defense. And you could also potentially see a garbage time game for Matt Ryan. Where do you have him ranked?
You know, I think this week, the 49ers are obviously dealing with some injuries. Sherman's banged up. Their front seven's a little bit banged up. But I'm just not sure we can trust Matt Ryan on the road in San Francisco. No Calvin Ridley. The 49ers are going to try their hardest to shut down Julio Jones. And at this point, Julio's probably operating at way less than 100% too. There's just quite a few. I mean, we've mentioned a lot of the streamers this week already on this show. I like Mayfield for sure over Matt Ryan this week. I think I like Gardner more than Ryan this week. If Devontae Parker plays, I'd play Fitz over him this week. There's probably just better options out there. I was on Matt Ryan last week and probably got a little bit lucky in that game because Carolina just got destroyed.
Yeah.
But Ryan, you know, threw for 300 yards for, you know, second straight game, two touchdowns again last week. I know Drew Brees ripped him, but Matt Ryan is no Drew Brees, and they don't have Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. Continuing on the Atlanta side, I mean, Devontae Freeman's probably got to be a flex starter for you this week. You don't necessarily have to like it. The matchup is not good.
The volume will be there. The Niners can be beat a little bit on the ground.
They've been tough against pass-catching running backs, though. So, and Atlanta has not had much success at all on the ground this year.
Atlanta hasn't been able to run the ball all year.
So I'd say Freeman is a flex, and you're hoping he gets you four or five catches out of the backfield. Julio, obviously, he is a go. Do we have any interest in Austin Hooper this week?
Yeah.
After what we saw last week, no Calvin Ridley. I think he's got to be in your lineup. Russell Gage?
Yeah, Russell Gage. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Gage and their secondary receivers this week, especially if Julio... Julio's been operating at less than 100% for most of the year. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with Gage and their other guys this week.
Niners.
I just think this is a big spot for Hooper.
Yeah.
I think this
is
really
it is because of no... Niners side of thing, Garoppolo's a go. Really, he's been great. You know, over the last several weeks, I think you start him if you're a streaming quarterback kind of guy or gal. Raheem Mostert, who has gotten all kinds of confidence over the last couple of weeks, and Kyle Shanahan said that he's earned the right to be the guy. So play him this week. Matt Breida is rosterable. Tevin Coleman is waiver wire fodder at this point. Emmanuel Sanders and Deebo Samuel are both goes for me this week. I think Deebo may have a better game than Emmanuel. Emmanuel had a better game last week, but remember, one of his touchdowns was a pass to Mostert, so you're not going to get that. And then also keep in mind, Sanders caught that touchdown where he caught the ball and nobody was around him. He fell down and then he just ran into the end zone. But you got to like the matchup, right?
Fantastic.
For Sanders
This is fantastic for them.
What about the 49ers defense? Without a couple of big options, key players there.
Yeah, they're fine.
Still going with them?
Yeah, okay. They're fine. Would you play the Eagles over them?
No. No, I don't trust the Eagles defense.
Okay.
That's probably the call. Niners are at home, too.
I'd probably play Niners.
Would you go Emmanuel Sanders or James Conner this week?
Ooh, Manny.
Okay. I cheated there. Listen, there's people in the industry that I respect that I want their opinions on stuff, especially when it's the playoffs.
I like
you and Bob Harris are, you know, right near the top there, or at the top of the Rolodex.
Yeah, I like Manny quite a bit. I think Deebo and Manny are top 20 plays.
Yeah. Bills and Steelers. This one's interesting. So Juju Smith-Schuster came back to practice. Then I guess he re-aggravated his knee injury. He's not going to play this week.
He's not going to play.
And Vance McDonald is in concussion protocol. Don't know if he's going to play. You're probably not playing him anyways. But I just mentioned James Conner is back. I talked to Aditi Kingabwala earlier this week, and she said it looks like he's a go. She also said, I don't think he's getting 20 carries, but he's a go.
Right.
And Jalen Samuels banged up too. What are we thinking about Conner this week? Here's what scares me about James Conner, okay? The last time he was on a football field, he played for less than a half and re-aggravated that damn shoulder injury. And, I mean, football's a contact sport. I mean, like, you know, he gets hit on that shoulder the wrong way again, and then boom, you're screwed.
Theoretically, the Steelers have given him plenty of rest. He's missed five of their last six games.
Yeah.
And obviously, Pittsburgh is right there in the wild card hunt. I mean, this team has playoff aspirations.
I said a couple of weeks ago I wouldn't be surprised if they rested him because, you know, I didn't think they were going anywhere, and boy, was I wrong.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Now they are going somewhere. Yeah. They are hiding Devlin Hodges by running the football and playing very good defense. And this week, I'm with you. I don't think Connor's going to see 25 or 30 touches like he has the upside of doing and how he has done in the past. But if he gets 15 to 18 touches here, there's some definite chances he goes off. The Steelers are at home, and this Buffalo Bills defense, or their run defense, has really struggled over the last two months, giving up the fourth most yards per carry in that span. Bills pass defense is going to shut down Devlin Hodges, James Washington, Deontay Johnson.
Yep.
I think the Steelers are probably going to rely pretty heavily on their run game once again. And even though Connor's probably not going to play like full bell cow snaps,
if he gets 18 touches,
right? He's a really solid flex.
Yeah, that's what I would think too. I'm fading the Steelers wide receivers. Deontay played great last week, but Buffalo's defense is nasty against the pass. Even James Washington, who we've been on, I can't play him. On the Buffalo side, I can't play Josh Allen. And I love Josh Allen. I really think this kid is going to end up being a really good, if not elite, fantasy quarterback as he continues to progress and develop through his NFL career. But the Steelers defense is so good at home. Like this, this is the only defense in the entire league that made Lamar Jackson look mortal this year.
Yeah.
I can't play Josh Allen this week. I can't do it.
Allen was exposed last week by Baltimore. I got that one wrong. I thought Allen would be fine. I didn't expect Allen to have a huge game through the air, but I expected him to at least, make up for it on the ground. He can certainly do that this week against Pittsburgh, but this defense is, They play aggressive. They're going to try to force Allen into some really bad decisions, and he might make a few of them.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers have given up 11.5 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks at the big catch-up bottle this year. You can't play him.
And
John Brown also, you can't play him either. I said this weeks ago, after that last big game that they had, I said, you got to trade him. Look at his schedule.
Yeah.
The schedule, guys, the schedule is so important. Josh Allen and John Brown, and I love Josh Allen, don't get me wrong, the schedule was a big part of the reason why these guys were having so much success, and things have turned now, and I believe they play the Patriots next week.
Yeah.
So at this point, Josh Allen, if you need a roster spot, you could cut him.
Yeah, you can cut
him. You're not playing John Brown against the Patriots either, so that's where we're at right now in week 15 and 16. Guys become expendable because the matchups are just so difficult.
So
I feel like the only Bill you could play maybe is Singletary.
I was going to say,
as a flex, and that's it. And that's not even a good matchup.
So for me, I was going to say Singletary is the only play on the Bills this week I would put into my fantasy lineup. For the last 6 weeks, Singletary has seen 17 touches and gone over 79 yards in five of his last six games. Mm-hmm. Even though the usage in between the 20s is elite, Singletary just doesn't get any work near when the Bills get getting close, which is always going to limit his upside. But he's going to get at least 15 to 20 touches in this game.
Yep.
Against the Steelers.
Steelers defense, by the way, is a really good play. Again, they've been great for most of the season. They've had one hiccup in the last month and a half.
I mean, really, outside of the Patriots, like, who are you playing?
No.
Over at defense.
And the Ravens would have been one of those last night, but the Steelers defense is a very
Ravens and
strong
Patriots
play.
And
they have been all year long.
The Steelers pretty easily number three defense play this week.
Yep. All right, let's move on. Final game, Colts at Saints on Monday Night Football. T.Y. Hilton, what are we hearing about T.Y.?
Yeah, so T.Y. is apparently pushing to play even though the Colts are falling further and further out of playoff contention. They need a lot of things to go right for them to make the playoffs, including the Titans and Texans to both collapse, which probably won't happen.
Yeah.
But with that said, if T.Y. plays this week, there's still, I just don't see how you can trust him in your lineup. It's on Monday night.
It's on Monday night, exactly.
It's on Monday night. Unless you have Zach Pascal.
Right, exactly.
Unless you have Zach Pascal, like really, seriously, the only way you could play T.Y. this week is if you have Pascal as the handcuff.
Yep.
If T.Y. doesn't play, Pascal's a fine sleeper once again. But really, Fabs, outside of like
Jack Doyle.
Outside of Jack Doyle, I really don't want much part of the Colts.
I don't like Mac either.
Yeah.
He didn't get a target last week. He didn't score double-digit fantasy points. The Saints are giving up fewer than 4 yards of carry. They've given up five rushing touchdowns to backs this season.
So here's the thing. Indy is going to try to establish the run in this game. The Saints just lost Marcus Davenport and Sheldon Rankins for the season, and Cameron Jordan is really banged up. He might not play. He's dealing with an abdomen injury, and I the Saints have their playoff spot and their playoff seating nearly locked down. I don't think they're going to push Cam Jordan if he's less than 100%. So the Saints' D-line is way less
vulnerable.
Than 100%.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Mac is not playing in their pass game. He's
at
caught
all.
Two balls over his last five healthy games. Mm-hmm. And if they get behind, if the Colts get behind in this game, it's going to be all Nyheim Hines.
And keep in mind, he scored last week and still didn't give you 10 points.
That was just completely bailing you out.
Yeah. So on the Saints side, Drew Brees, yes, I was wrong last week. Oh. Although Tannehill had a big game, I like Tannehill more than Brees.
Don't feel bad about that. Everybody was wrong about
Brees. Brees just drives me nuts this year. Obviously, you're going to play him. You got to play Kamara, right? I mean, well, two touchdowns all year. That's got to be the most unpredictable stat of 2019. Alvin Kamara has two touchdowns.
And they came in one game against Seattle.
Unbelievable.
It would sure be nice if the touchdowns started coming in the fantasy semifinals. That would be really nice.
He knocked me out single-handedly. I lost by like 5 or 6 points in one.
Real quick, Jared Cook is in concussion protocol.
Yes, I was
going to
mention
that. I don't know if he's going to play in this game, and if he does not play, this just forces more targets to both Kamara and Michael Thomas.
Yep.
Really, the Saints are super straightforward this week. It's Brees, Kamara, and Thomas. That's it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Saints defense, what do we think about them? With all the injuries, would we stream them or no?
Yeah, even with their injuries, I think they're fine.
Okay.
I'd play Eagles over them. I'd play Seahawks over them, but that's about it.
All right, so that is a wrap on your Week 15 matchups, and now it's time for a little fun.
Are you ready? It's fantasy bold prediction time.
Thank you, Money. Money, by the way, this may be the most painful loss I have ever seen in fantasy football. He was playing Scott Hansen this week, our pal from Red Zone and Total Access. And Money was up, I don't know, 19 and change. He had Wentz. Scott did. They go to overtime. Wentz had done nothing in the first half. They get back. They get back into the game. They tie it. Overtime. Last play of the week. And remember, Boston Scott had just barely gotten tackled before the end zone, and this may not have even happened. Wentz to Ertz. Touchdown. Money loses by less than a point. That one hurts.
Yikes.
There
were quite a few really bad beats this past week with the Ertz touchdown. I beat Matt Harmon, our friend Matt Harmon from Yahoo. He needed 31.2 to beat me in an analyst league, and he got 30.5 from Ertz. Yeah. I was sweating at that whole game.
That was the same kind of thing. I was texting with Adam Wainwright the whole game because he had Ertz. He was down like 30 and change, and he said, all I need is for this game to go to overtime and for Ertz to score a touchdown. The game goes to overtime. Ertz scores a touchdown. Waino loses by less than three.
That's a big request, and we got it.
He got it, yeah. All right, what's your bold prediction for this week, Mr. Barfield?
Yeah, my bold call this week is I think O.J. Howard is going to
you
do something.
Love him.
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to finish as a top five tight end this week and be the top streaming option for you if you're in need. I get it. O.J. Howard has certainly killed a lot of hopes and dreams this season, but wouldn't it be just perfect for O.J. Howard to have his biggest game of the year in Week 15 with very few people on him? I think O.J. Howard is going to finish the week as a top five fantasy tight end.
There you go. All right, Edward, what do you got for us, pal?
Plain and simple, the Guardians of the Galaxy will defeat the Miami Sharks in the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast Listener League.
You better hope so, because you mean wearing a Cowboys jersey next week.
I know. I don't want that.
That don't have. Let's look at that matchup real quick, man. Let's look at that matchup. I have so many teams.
It's tight.
Still alive, dude. That I'm not even sure who I have on this roster. But this is going to be fun. A couple of Yankee fans going at it. I've got Kyler. You've got Russell. You had Lev last night. I've got Zeke and Chris Carson, and you've got Derrick Henry. This one's tight.
It's really tight, yeah.
This is tight like a tiger.
We're both 8-5, too. It's like a very even matchup.
This is going to be
a lot
of fun. All right, so that's your bold prediction?
My bold prediction is
it's not that bold. You're 8-5.
Yeah, but it's bold because you're the expert and I'm just the lowly producer, so that's why it's very bold.
Stop it.
You are not lowly anything.
Look,
Eddie.
It's a huge uphill battle for me, so it's gonna be a tough one. I'm selling myself way short just so when I win I could brag a little more.
Yeah,
I do really want to see you in a Cowboys jersey though. Anyways, my bold prediction is in that battle in Arizona, the last two Heisman Trophy winners, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. Both of those quarterbacks will give you 25 plus fantasy points. Okay. So combined, they're going over 50. I think that's going to be a sick shootout, high scoring affair, back and forth, both teams just going at each other. Neither defense is going to show up. And I think Baker and Kyler both put up a very entertaining game. Maybe not for the NFL masses who don't play fantasy football. And if you don't play fantasy football, what are you waiting for? But I think that's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of points in that game.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Should be a good game.
I'm in on that one. All right, guys. So thanks for tuning in. Make sure you rate and review, as our pal Marcus Grant will always say. Good luck in your week 15 matchups, and we will see you back here on Monday to go through all the action from week 15, talk about our heartbreaks and our celebrations in our own fantasy leagues. Good luck, everybody.